Welcome to Last Week on Keith and the Girl. I'm Bianca Brady. And if you're joining us this week, you may remember that last week on Last Week was a very special episode of Last Week. And we thank you, dear listener, for all of your feedback as we went through the issues of the crying bitch baby, Bianca Brady, as she blubbered and burst her bitch-ass little bubble all over the mic in tears of streaming bitch-ass babyhood. And thank you for still accepting her, even though she is a bitch-ass. And now we're back to the hardcore, you know, no holds barred, fuck everything, you know, cool guy alert. Oops, I just got here on my motorcycle. And now we're back to our regularly scheduled programming of cool guy stuff. And she's here, Bianca, with Keith, Mally, and Hemda. Welcome back to the show. As it always should have been, the cool guy, no bitch ass bitches allowed. Last week on Keith and the Girl. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. Wow. What a new opening. That's that jingle just kind of will stay in my head all day.
Well, I don't live in the past, so this is, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. after
but
that
nice
show
motorcycle,
last,
bro.
After that show last week, what were you thinking?
Well, I wasn't that upset. I think, you know, when you're like upset about everything in your life and then you don't cry, you don't cry, you don't cry, and then you stub your toe and then you cry for like 3 hours about everything else. I think that was kind of what was going on with me. And Keith, you just stubbed your, you were my stubbed toe of that day. So, I mean, after we were done, I wiped my face. I went for a bike ride with my mom and had a dinner and didn't really think anything of it. And then I got like a text from Andrea being like, bro, are you okay? And the forums lit up and I was like, oh, yeah, no, I'm fine. I just, you know, sometimes you gotta cry it out. But I'm glad
Keith
that people
can't hurt you now.
I'm glad that people, you know, identified and it was really a pleasure on the forums to read what everybody had to say. I thought it was really interesting and it was exciting to have last week on Keith and the Girl kind of like open up a new sort of level of discourse online. So thank you. And yeah, how do you guys feel?
Hey, you know, whatever.
Well, I love feelings. So I like when people openly cry because that's just what's happening now. I think the quote recovery was right there. You know, it's so funny, like a cry to people lasts 24 hours. Like if you cried, you're crying for 24 hours in their head. The last thing you did together was cry. But if you laugh, you're not laughing all day. To me, it's the same. You laughed, you cried, and I don't know, you probably did other things like a bike ride.
Yeah.
But, you know, I get the bubbling of emotion. I get the trigger. I get being mad at Keith in general. Why not? I mean, we all get that. But, yeah, you triggered a lot of other stuff on the forums, too, where people are, you know, a couple of people started getting mad at us for maybe yelling about it or maybe having an opinion one way or another. I don't know. That's you kind of doing the same thing. Not
crying
you,
Bianca. Crying doesn't scare me and you don't scare me.
And then there's that.
Me or the forums people?
All three.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I never want, Keith, you to get the impression that I feel like you should do anything differently than you do it. You know, I was just like teasing you about how your approach is often a big yell. And then all of a sudden I fell into my own tease trap and got friggin' like mousetrapped by my own, you know, kind of ball busting. And sometimes that happens, you know, sometimes you dish it out and you can't take it all in the same day. So, I mean, please keep yelling. And and after I saw that picture in the Sarah Tolomash episode of the people crowded in Astoria on Steinway, I was like, oh, that's what he's talking about. Like, I guess I sort of, I did have that moment of like, Keith is yelling at me and I'm not doing the wrong thing and I'm a good person. And I can admit that, you know, I can admit that that did trigger me in that moment. And, you know, I'm not in a crowded hookah bar on the streets of Astoria, like wiling out without a mask. And, you know, we know what's best. And I mean, yeah, if one person listens to this and changes their behavior, then sure, that's definitely worth it. So anyway, whatever, I cried. Fucking what, whatever.
But isn't that, it is something to me that it's the smart, I mean, I guess that's why they're smart people, but it's the smart people that question if they're doing the right thing. Meanwhile, you personally are. I know that. And it's the dummies that, you know, immediately have to challenge it, not even challenge it, dismiss it.
It's maybe like you know, a surplus.
It's always the smart people that doubt themselves. It's always the people doing the right things that doubt themselves.
Yeah, I mean, and not to be like, oh, I'm so great, I'm so nice and empathetic. But like, I think sometimes it is a surplus of empathy where you're like seeing people do the wrong thing and then you make excuses for them in your head. Like, well, you don't know what they're going through and da 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 da. And they might be, you know, maybe they got thrown out of a moving car and ended up at this sidewalk bar. And a drink just fell into their hand. And I mean, you don't know. But then if you do sort of stop and think about it logically, you're like, no, people are making the decisions that they're making and everybody has to deal with the consequences. And I mean, yeah. And also like, for me, just to pivot, like health-wise, there's been kind of some big developments that I could share, and that was kind of hanging over my head anyway. So it looks like I'm going to have a bone marrow transplant. So that means like essentially a year of like bubble boy. Hemda's level of social distancing, but even more like a whole year of not leaving the house, and not even because of COVID, just because I'll be so immunosuppressed after the transplant. So I think right now I'm just like really trying to have as much safe fun as I can before that happens. So that's kind of like clouding my judgment on some level. But yeah, I just found out about that. So that's huge news.
When did you find that?
It's good timing in the scheme of things, right?
I mean, I don't really know. It's so bizarre. So weird.
Sure. Did you just get this information?
Yeah, I mean, it's been kind of in the back of everyone's mind that that's maybe was going to have to happen. And then last week I just got confirmation from the doctor that like, that's what we're going to try next. Like that's, we're going to get the ball rolling on that. So they're like looking for matches for me for donors. They have to call all my first cousins to see if they would donate. So I had to write an email to my first cousins being like, hey, like, if you want, I mean, no NBD, but like you could potentially be a match for me and save my life if you wanted. No pressure.
Or see you at Christmas, whatever, yeah. You know, you still get a stocking stuffer from me because we're family. So I don't know. What would it be invasive for them?
It would just be like they would have to go under anesthesia and it's like a one day sort of like a wisdom tooth level of thing. Like they extract it from your hip and you they put you out, they extract from your hip, and then you go home and you have like a sore ass for a couple days, and that's it.
Some people enjoy that.
Yes.
A sore ass for a couple days.
Some people love that.
Yeah. So find the cousin that loves it.
Yeah. There are a couple in the mix.
Are you close with them?
Well, there are a few who I'm close with and there are a few who I'm not. I mean, I'm cool with everyone, but it's still a weird ask.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard enough to ask for help in anything, you know?
I think it'd be hard enough to ask for bone marrow soup, let alone, like, can you make me this soup that requires bone marrow and some other learning? But yeah, so.
Yeah, that's, it's hard enough to be like, you know, I'm vulnerable and I need your help. But in this case, it's like, I wanted to make like a TED Talk style video where I was like with a screen behind me and I'm like, what if I told you you could save my life and here's how, and then do like a fun slideshow. But really, I just did an email because nobody has time for that, you know?
I did enjoy just the first 10 seconds of it. So I'm going to look forward to that TED Talk one way or another.
But yeah, so it would be like I would have to be in the hospital for like up to 8 weeks. And they would give
While you're healing?
Yeah, I would go in, they would give me like a week of chemo and radiation, like all in 1 week, and then do the transplant. And then keep me there for many weeks after. And then for 3 months after that, I'll need 24/7 caretaker.
You have to hire someone?
Like
to
my
come
mom
to your house?
Will have to come live with me or something.
And not vice versa?
Well, I don't know yet. I mean, all the doctors are in New York, so. And I like all the doctors, so. I mean, it's all just preliminary stages and there's still like a very small chance that it doesn't have to happen, but I'm making peace with it and trying to just like emotionally prepare for it. So, you know, that's kind of been on my mind the past few weeks and, you know.
That's a big one. That's definitely a big one. When you heard about it, when it was more solidified, did the doctor turn into womp, 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 or did you super focus? I feel like there's only one of two things you can do.
I mean, I super focused. And then when the telemedicine visit was over, I just like lied down on the floor for like 15 minutes.
Yep. Fair.
And I was just like, okay. And then my mom and I went to the beach. And then I was like splashing in the water and I was like, Mom, look, I'm alive. Life is for the living. Life is for the living. And I was making her laugh and cracking myself up. So I kind of, you know, I bounced back pretty quick, but it comes in waves. Cause I mean, on some level, it's kind of a relief to think like, okay, this will happen. And if it goes well, I would be cured. But essentially just knowing that the next year of your life is going to absolutely suck. And Hemda, I feel like you've kind of been there in terms of your knee and stuff, like not having like that kind of mobility or that freedom, and just sort of knowing that you're in it for the long haul. It's so weird. It's like if it wasn't COVID, it's like what I could be, you know, having sex with like a million guys and like eating so many donuts and going to bars. Maybe I would get drunk. Like, I don't know.
Right. Start
living the regretful life you always wanted.
Right.
I could be at the Harley Davidson bar. I could have picked up some dudes. I'm drunk, but I'm driving home, sucking and fucking. Yeah.
I could do everything I've never been attracted to and don't do for a reason.
My motorcycle looks like a clown car, dude.
But the only things I've come up with so far for like cool, fun, like c'est la vie, you only live once kind of stuff is like, I'm going to have two pieces of gum at a time every time I have gum. Yeah. And then the other day I was like, I'm ordering Chinese food and I'm going to eat it in my bathrobe while I watch TV. So
I've had those moments of like, you know what? I can eat while I'm in the bathtub. Look at me. Thanks to this chair that I have to sit on when I'm showering, I can use that as a table when I'm in the bath. Gratitude.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, shouldn't have made toast. Now I know. And
toast is not a shower food. But yeah, so that's my update. And that's kind of where I'm at emotionally. Well,
we, of course, are right here, however, and if you send out the I need help with something email, put us on that mailer. And I think like maybe that alleviates, you know, the thought process of do I ask these person or that person? If you have a mailing list of help, put us on it. This way you BCC everyone and it's not a weird like
you know.
And mm-hmm. and we'll do whatever we can. I'm going to reach out through my immune system in this screen.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to leave the house, though. So
no.
But no, you're not good for her immune system.
You're not coming anywhere near me for a long time, buddy.
Oh, yeah. That was your choice. Interesting.
Hemda could come around me, but you, I don't know.
Somehow we cancel each other out on the immune system and we'll be fine.
You know what? She's tricking me so that I want to help. Same way she wanted everybody to say how great she is on the forums. I'm on to her.
Yeah. I'm the number one trickster, Keith. I tricked you so much that I host a show on your network and you don't even like me. What the fuck? How does she do it? I'm like basically Thor's brother, Loki, over here, the trickster god.
I had my 12. How obscure. I had my 12-year-old step kid. Hold on, this door's open. 1 second.
Okay, bye.
Not only did you get a show on his network, you got him to leave.
He left. Okay, bye. Okay, welcome back. Hey.
The door's open when I want to leave, and now it's closed and I'm gone. So the 12-year-old stepdaughter, she wants to, she goes, oh, can this guy's going to come over. Is that okay? Something like that. That was her way of asking, like, after the fact. And she's and the mom's like, no, real, please. I'm sorry, but I already said yes.
Wait, this is the 12-year-old son or the 16-year-old girl?
14-year-old girl. Excuse me. 14 just turned 15, by the way. Okay. So none of the numbers I said. Okay. So she's 15. And then Kyle turns to me. He's like, you know what? What do you think? And I go, well, I'll tell you, I don't like to be tricked. And it sounds like there's trickery going on right here. And then Kyle goes, yeah, he thinks everybody's tricking him. And then the daughter goes, is that like a mental disease when you think everybody's tricking you? And I go, hold on. You're trying to trick me. So we already got one done. So right now, my list of everyone starts with you and ends with you. We already have you trying to trick. You knew you already called and acted like you didn't. You already said yes. Don't try to trick me. And so she got a lesson in how I can't be tricked.
Wait, how does that end? Then what?
The person comes over. What are you going to do? You
know? Okay. Wow. So she knows to say yes.
She said yes. Well, Kyle said yes and then is mad like that she said yes. And she's like, well, what do I do now that it's hours went by, the person isn't here and it's late? I'm like, you already said yes. I don't know what you do.
Huh.
Lock the door. You know, you said yes. Don't say yes to shit.
Yeah. That's tricky. That's good though. I'm gonna remember that one.
Yeah.
That yeah, so this person's coming over. Is it cool? Yeah. Yes. Okay, thanks.
Thanks. They already are and I don't have to do anything.
They already are and they're on their way and they don't have a phone and
right. But that's then the daughter's trying to gaslight me, right? Wait a minute. Doesn't a crazy person think that? You're dead it. It's like, oh, do you think everybody's stealing money from you? I just caught you do it. So everyone's the, what the fuck?
Imagine this is in your household because your mom finds this attractive.
Yeah. I mean, those kids are lucky to have you to set them on the straight and narrow. That's all.
I think she'll wait a second before she tries another trick.
Exactly. She'll be like,
Why would she wait any minute? She got the yes she wanted, and you guys are cool.
Because next time Kyle will know that, yeah, I'm in charge.
Yeah.
And I go, I'll give you this one out, but you tried to trick me. Know that you tried, and that I know. That's it.
Daddy dearest.
And next time, I can get physical.
Okay. Oh, geez. Okay. Well, moving along. The meat of the show still to come. The marrow of the show, if you will, is where we review the previous week's episodes of our favorite podcast, Keith and the Girl. Mm-hmm. And so this time we're going to start with episode 3296, Snowflakes, with Sarah Tolomash. Now, I remember she was on once before, and I think we covered it on last week where you were like, she didn't say anything. She didn't answer any questions. And I was surprised to see her name again after the experience last time.
Well, she did an episode of Only in New York and had like some of the best stories that we've had on there. And I loved the episode so much that I thought maybe, you know, maybe she's less quiet if she has a minute, or she knows more of us on the show or something, or we ask very specific questions. And she was so funny and so fun. So brought her back.
Yeah, I thought it was a great episode. You guys talked about that listener who doesn't listen, but apparently is a listener enough to write a letter, carry that person's letter. What?
Well, I felt bad because you were just saying how Katie got to yell at everybody. I'm like, yeah, what's waiting until, because we just recorded that one. That show.
Okay.
Then you're saying about my yelling, and then I'm like, uh-oh, because now you're also going to hear name calling. I am not above either.
No, but that one I think was different to me because it had a specific target. You know, it wasn't just generally like, everybody's being bad except for me. It was like, you don't know what you're talking about. And I know that because you just said what you're talking about and it doesn't make sense. So you don't know what you're talking about. Like, you had the receipts, as the kids say.
Right.
And it was a very compelling episode. And I can't believe that that person would email Hemda to ask why Keith is no longer a Republican, or to like complain about, like, what?
Because I am the puppet master.
I don't understand.
Right.
I am responsible for everything.
I think it's so simple. She's the sweet one. And if you're going to rate us something fucking dopey, but you still want somebody's feelings, you might as well go with him then, hope for the best.
I think I got my feelings out.
Yeah, I hope that people are realizing that that plan doesn't work anymore. Because lately, the past like year or so, all Hemda does is like forward it along to Keith and be like, I think they meant you. Send.
Oh, it is so true. It's such a relief. I remember when Keith and I first broke up, and like people were still messaging me to see if he's available like the next week or whatever. And it actually took me a second to be like, I don't do this. This is not me. But I felt guilty for a second. I mean, Al-Anon helped with that, which is very interesting. But looking back, it's like, well, I really thought a lot of things were my responsibility that really weren't. But to let go of it, like, to think things like, then how's Keith going to manage? And then like for other adults to go, because he's an adult? Like, how did he manage without you, you know? And I'm just like, no, I know everything. No one could manage. I made him my baby.
I'm the manager.
I'm the manager. He doesn't know how. Okay.
People be, you know, offering management jobs to him. Then she goes, no. I'll be the boss. I'll be the leader. Not a manager. Don't manage anymore.
Keith, did you feel a shift during that time in your life when Hemda stopped managing? Were you like, wait a second, why am I in the middle of a meadow somewhere and I don't know where I am? How did I get here?
I get lost a lot, but no. No.
Bianca, come on. You know better than that. Us people pick up somebody else to manage, and he picks up somebody else to manage him. Come on. You pick up the same bottle. Please.
Oh, wow. She speaks the truth, baby.
Yeah. I think that's part of, like, if Xerxes and I are ever confused about our relationship, it's just like, wait, we're on the same part. You want to help me. I want to help you. How do we mix?
Oh, that's nice. You guys talked about the Trump family hair, and I thought that that was a very compelling set of images on the Keith and the Girl app. Everybody in that family, what is going on hair wise?
I think hair-wise, I think head-wise, like maybe not supposed to make fun of the head, but you can the hair. You're going to end up with a monster. That's a fact.
The head plus the hair. I mean, no. I wonder if the priest or whatever did that like pre-Cana thing when they got married and he was like, you know what? You guys shouldn't do this just based on your heads and your hair.
Yeah. I would have said you got to... I would ask, like, what's the ceremony with the pagan masks, you know? And then I'd like to, okay, joke's over. You got to be serious. You're in the church. We have to, you know, dip this kid in water.
Yeah.
Oh, this those be real faces. I was joking, too. All right. Let's go, I guess.
The hair spells trouble. Any way you slice it, Something don't smell clean about that hair. The milk ain't clean.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
I honestly can't tell if that's a real saying or Bianca can make up anything. And I'm like, she's really smart. She knows all of it. I don't know.
Okay. I don't know. It's possible that I heard it. It's possible that I just thought of it. I don't know.
Awesome. Well, it is now.
What was the poll for this one?
Americans, what political party are you registered under? Your choices were Democrat Party, Republican Party, a minor party, no offense, none but registered to vote, never registered to vote, I'm not an American citizen. Okay. Ready for the answers?
And fear!
Yeah. I'm not an American citizen, 12%. None but registered to vote, 19%. 0% under never registered to vote. How's that possible? So no one under 18 is listening. Oh, I feel like politics is so weird that even though this poll is anonymous, I can't trust it. Democratic Party, 69%. Republican Party, none.
Nice.
Wow. None. Well, that's a lie. That's bullshit.
What was the Democratic Party percent again?
69.
Nice.
Harley.
Nice. Nice.
Nice. You don't believe that, Keith?
Like, nope. 0%. No.
Why would a Republican not just listen, but also vote in your poll? Yeah. Also, wouldn't they be proud? Like, you know,
they're pieces of shit. They're liars. And even if it's anonymous, they know not to click it.
Yeah, scumbags. We can find you based on your IP address.
Scumbags.
Yes, we're all going to hack into
everything.
Gerrymander
you right out of my district.
Right. And it's okay to say this because I'm not talking to anybody. 0%. Ah. Piece of shit. Fake fuck. Shame on you. You think you could talk about how the world can be a better place? You couldn't even stand by your fucking party in a stupid poll. You shitbird. I shit on you. You fucking shit.
Yeah, tell him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Yeah.
Get on my motorcycle, Keith. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Here's what you are. You're like a 5-pound bag, right? You can normally hold 5 pounds of things. Then you go to the zoo, okay?
And yeah.
You see a bunch of elephant shit, like 10, 20 pounds of it.
Yeah.
And you pour water on it because you're a sick fuck. Then you take this diary looking shit, all 20 pounds of it, and you shove it in this bag that can only hold 5 fucking pounds. That's you.
Yeah.
You're the fucking pile of shit.
Yeah, spilling out the sides.
It's coming out the sides.
Dripping out the seam on the bottom because it's wet.
But don't worry, it's not about you because you don't exist, apparently.
Yeah.
You motherfucker.
Yeah, and I'm going to free those elephants from the zoo and they're going to trample you with their feet.
That's not what you're supposed to do with elephants, but let me guess, person that doesn't exist, you want to shoot them because it's such a skill.
Put the head on your wall and you're a dentist in Ohio, you piece of garbage.
I'm a dentist in Ohio and here's the tusks from the holy elephant tribe. And the woman's like, oh, I'm soaking. That's so manly.
Fuck. And you're like, oh, can't wait to put this on Facebook.
Can't wait till I put it on Facebook.
Ugh.
Ugh, disgusting.
Ugh.
Hey, Keith, have you run out of movies to watch? What's happening?
I think I saw the last one last night.
Okay. I think we should all be not just concerned for Bianca, but concerned for Keith. He needs some kind of transplant.
Can't even tell the truth in a poll just to get an idea of what's going on in the world. Not me. Not me. Why don't people stand up for things? Oh, the poll, not me. I was never here. You were there. You were there.
This poll
live
is
with
science.
You.
You know,
this is science. Well, they don't believe in science.
They don't believe in science. That's why. America, the beautiful.
But not too loud. I don't want anybody to hear me. Right?
Guitar solo.
Yeah. Remember those days?
We do have to move on.
All right. That's fair.
Football night, Carrie Underwood. Okay. Episode 3297, Dog Days of Summer with Jesse Jollis. And let me tell you, my dogs are barking. And let me tell you also, it's hotter than a dog's dingle out here.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you one more, you know, if you can't take the heat, summer. Dog Days with Jesse Jollis. And take it away, guys.
Okay. Well, I enjoy Jesse very much.
She's so fun.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Her mic check, wonderful. Very nice. Just lovely. Just, you know, when you can tell how much Xerxes is like, yes. He's like, he usually goes, okay, wonderful. But here he's like, okay, wonderful. Nice. It was just a wonderful experience. And so we unpacked her Zoom together and watched her plug things in for the first time. That was exciting.
Even though she has at least 2 podcasts, right?
Oh, right. Yeah. So she does something. She has a different setup.
Right. Not her mic, I guess.
Without a microphone.
Right.
No, she uses a mic, but she records on the Zoom. But then they put those recordings together. It's just a little different. But she's the best. There's nothing bad to say about her. She's a pleasure. She's on time. She yes-ands everything. Like, I was on cloud 9 after that recording, just enjoying the hell out of it. It was so beautiful. I hope everybody enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed doing it. Fan-fucking-tastic. Model guest. Gorgeous.
Wow. Okay, employee of the friggin' month, I guess. Jeez.
Yeah, we even didn't even think about the sadness of 1,000 COVID deaths a day.
No, we don't think about that. It's Jesse Jollis. We improvise our way into something else.
You guys talked about Gilmore Girls, and Hemda, I feel like you don't like you know that I like Gilmore Girls, but I don't know if you know how many times I have seen every episode and how pretty much continually I'm watching Gilmore Girls always. And I always just put it on and I love it. And I'm so happy. Oh, Keith is leaving again.
Yep, he's leaving and again. Good timing.
I'm so excited that you're watching it.
I am. It's a fresh one again. Just you should watch it at different points in your life.
Exactly.
I posted on Reddit, you know, are you team Jess or are you team? And I know we talked about this last week, but I have to emphasize it because I'm continuing to watch it. And holy shit, team Jess or team what's his face?
Dean.
And people were like, Jess, absolutely. He challenged her. He whatever. I regret saying yes to all of that. Yes, he challenged her. Sure. But what a fucking challenge he needed to be at every goddamn moment. I don't know how to share my feelings, so I have to hit you, pull your pigtail, and then make you feel like you're the only one who could see this version of me. Make you feel like I can only be nice to you and you alone, contradicting and conflicting with everything that goes around you because you live a nice life and I don't know how to be nice, so I can't fit in, but I can only fit in private, in secret. Fuck you. There are other men who could read books as much as you do and reference them, and fucking take your attitude and your crashing of my car and get the fuck out of here. Oh, I just had a feeling. I'm gonna act mean to you. You know what? Bring back Dean. And then dump him in a lake, too, because, that can't be the only solution, no.
Yeah. I mean, Will, I'm excited for you to get to season 4, Rory, you know, the college years.
I'm on 420 now.
Oh, okay.
Because I noted, this is how it happened, that I usually don't know exactly where I am, but I'm watching this episode.
But you remembered 420?
No. I didn't even know I was on 420. I've been comparing Luke to Xerxes and me to Lorelai. And I asked Xerxes weird questions like, how come he's not annoyed with her right now? She's like on crack and he's just, you know, like grunting at her. And he's so
sweet. And Xerxes said, he is.
He's like, maybe he likes that. Maybe she's not annoying him. And I'm like, oh, you love me. And he's like, I'm not Luke. but I got to episode 420 and I was like, oh, I can't wait until Xerxes gets to this episode. I got a note and I'm trying not to do that because every episode is such a gem. But I'm like, this one is so funny because I was just talking about it on a recent show that we have a feelings parade every Saturday where we like, you know, talk about something or watch a TED talk and whatever. And this has to do with this episode. And I'm like, take note. And then I look down at the episode number and it's 420. And the joy.
Wow.
I'm so, these are the things that I enjoy. But yeah, I have all kinds of feelings about Gilmore Girls. And I know you just said that you do too. And I went on a tirade and didn't even let you express yourself. But I just needed to get that stuff out about Jess. Don't fall for this. Ladies, gentlemen, anybody, do not fall for this personality. He has 10% of what you need. And the rest you have to work too hard for. Thank you.
I feel like
Jess the one that built a car?
No. That's Dean.
He's the one that wrecked a car. Okay, Bianca.
Who wrecked the car?
Jess.
And Dean made a car.
Yep. Yeah.
The fuck?
Yeah, exactly.
What are we even talking about here?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
I think that Jess, like, when I mean, it's like my actual dysfunction that I did love him and think that that was like the perfect thing. And then as you keep watching it, like you said, when you watch it different points in your life after learning lessons, it's like when you listen to Alanis Morissette's Jagged Little Pill when it first comes out, when you're like under 10, if you're me, and then you listen to it again when after you've been broken up with and you're like, oh, that's what that song's about.
That's what she's reminding him of.
When I was a little kid being like, I'm here to remind you. And then when I was in high school being like, oh, the mess you left when you went away. You know?
Yeah, because when you're younger, you think that you are here to remind people. Yes, I'll put that on your schedule. Of course I can help.
I thought she was picking things up in a movie theater.
Yeah.
All right.
She was sucking dick.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Going
Keith,
down.
You were old enough. I blame your upbringing for not knowing what that meant.
So the poll had to do with Keith's story about his little adorable little puppy dog who was a big barfer. Oh, and you guys got into it a little bit of classic Keith and Hemda, you know, duke it out.
Yeah. A little classic. I think just try to tell a sweet, sweet story about a dog and Henda thinking that it's a violent fight that somebody has to be right. We got into one of those
classics. It's not a sweet story, and you should know that. I think we might have made Jess a little uncomfortable for a second, and then she realized, nah, this is just what they do. But no, it wasn't a nice story.
She hates this dog. Well,
I don't hate the dog. I hate their choices. The dog did nothing but be herself.
Instead, I should have been homeless until the power goes on.
Let's listen to Bianca.
Oh, gosh. I feel so nervous. I mean, I understand, Hemda, where you're coming from. Like, don't get on the bus with a barfing dog because that's rude to everyone.
No,
but
stop
also,
right there.
That's good. If your plan was not to get on that bus, your plan was to take the train, and then there was a train blackout, and in order to get home, you had very limited options, and this
get
is...
Get there earlier.
No, the what? Train,
you can
like...
get a seat.
Get where
broke.
Earlier? The bus?
To the bus. No,
everybody's crowded and shit. You don't get there earlier.
Stay at your brother's.
Everyone gets
your
there at once.
You're gonna throw up on everybody. That doesn't mean you get a seat.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lose-lose, I would say. And
with Hemda, yes.
And I am Switzerland in this moment. And I honestly, God. You know whose side I'm on? The dog.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Team,
that's fair.
What's his name? Hugsy?
Team Hugsy Malone, a.k.a. Team Keith and Hugsy, a.k.a. Team Keith.
All right, read the poll. What's
yeah,
the poll?
I don't think you can be Team Hugsy and pro Hemda. The results were, and I figured...
Team Cat, so honestly.
I figured that Hemda would have to win this poll if it's about, you know, who's right. And you heard that I have a dog that's throwing up. I thought the world would be simpletons and she'd win by like 90%.
No, people love dogs and they allow them to do everything just like babies. I get that. I get that I don't have a huge chance here. Go ahead.
Dog bus story. Whose side were you on? Keith or Hemda? 53% Hemda.
Wow.
That surprised me.
I'm not surprised. I really think
that.
Yeah, I really
see that. I think you're evil.
It's so funny how quickly I go from saint to evil with Keith.
I never said saint. I said you're in touch with your feelings and you're in general nice.
Feelings are evil.
Yeah, but sometimes it's like a pressure cooker. You have all this nice stuff, and then you got to let it out, and all of a sudden you're that asshole in 101 Dalmatians.
Wow.
Cruella de Vil?
Oh, you know her name, her full government name.
Hemda, like, turns her computer screen to reveal 10 fur coats in her closet, all made out of dogs. Oh, gosh. Well, you know... R.I.P. Hugsy, wherever he is, up in heaven.
Texas.
Down in hell. I hope that he's throwing up on, you know, whatever he wants.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I believe he's throwing up in a Tesla now. And
that's
she.
That's fucking sick. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. okay. Should we move along?
Please.
Yes.
On a bus with a thrown up dog.
He should have got a private helicopter. Well, you're stuck on buses, Hemda. I know you've never been stuck anywhere.
Episode 3298, Fatal Affair with Karen Morrow. Mm-hmm. What a delightful addition. I mean, talk about your pockets full of sunshine. Karen, just, you know, if she could come to my house and just read the newspaper to me, then I might have a better feeling about what is going on in the world. You know, yep. She could just make anything sound like reassuring and it's going to be a good time and like with open heart, open mind, and such a great accent to the point where it's like, how are you even real? Your accent is so amazing and I love you. I love you, Karen.
That seemed to be the consensus on the forums. She's been nominated for Best New Guest. What a delight. Also for us, start to finish, we saw Rod before the show. He was checking her mic, and then she got on, and everybody is just wonderful. And if you're not listening to The Black Guy Who Tips, you should. They're just wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And COVID took away us meeting in person. So at least we get to do this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's so cool to have so many. I mean, oh my God. I think the heat is making me dumber sometimes, because I was just about to say it's so cool to have people who are all from everywhere to be listening in and their perspectives, points of view, America, Europe, Australia. And it's like, see, this is a side effect of having, like, you know, a potentially life-threatening cancer where you're just like, you know what's nice? Everything.
Anything, everything.
Everything's so nice and good. And I just like it.
Hey, you ever notice that you're alive?
It's so nice.
Yeah.
And when people are from places, that's nice, isn't it?
It's how gosh people, darn lovely.
How people tend to be from different places in the world. And that's nice.
It's the literal nicest.
You guys talked about, okay, Hamda, there was one thing on this episode that wasn't very clear to me.
Yes.
And I would like to ask for clarification.
Go on.
You said that when you were working in a store, a customer pulled paper money out of a, I think you said, pussy pocket. And I just wanted to clarify, did somebody stick their hand down their pants and pull money from their vagina, out of their vagina in front of you and hand it to you?
I bet we all heard something different, by the way. I heard poon pouch. Who knows?
I don't think it was inside her vagina. It was kind of like how a bra is just like, oh, that's a pocket. So that...
It was in her underwear?
I believe so. I blacked out a little bit, you know? So I didn't put it in the register. I just kind of like placed it and told someone, you know, because I didn't know what to do.
It would have been funny you put it in your love
my pussy pouch.
Yeah, I mean, I used to work at a coffee shop, and sometimes like runners would come in after their run and pull wet money out of wherever. And I would just be like, you know what? You can just set that down on the counter. It's fine. You don't have to hand it to me. I'm not offended. You can just slide it right across and I'll give you your change. I'll throw you your change out the door and you can just run and go get it, because that's kind of your thing. So
there's got to be other solutions to that you need your coffee as soon as you're done running, so you have to deal with that.
I can think of one. A credit card.
Huh. Yeah.
I solved it.
Yeah. And you still have your pockets. Like, runners have pockets for everything. They have little pockets for their shorts. They have pockets in their socks. There's pockets everywhere.
Apple Pay. You have your phone. Wave it in front of me and leave.
Yeah, I think this was before Apple Pay, though. Okay. I mean, I don't know when you were working at this store, but mine was before Apple Pay.
Mine was like 30 years ago. So yeah, it might have been just before. Yeah.
Just right before Apple Pay. Yep. Sure. Mm-hmm. I liked your story about Xerxes confronting youths in like on a bicycle in like the most Xerxes-ish way of like, hello, here I am, the way you asked me to be here, and welcome to this moment, ladies and gentlemen, here I am, and thank you and blessings on all your houses.
Right. Would you indeed like to suck my dick?
Yeah.
So true.
Should I take it out of my pants? Or as part of the process, you take it out and then proceed to suck it? I don't have all day, but
it's so true.
No, I'm really asking, do you want one piece of me? Do you want a piece of me? Would you like a piece of me?
No, because you just said you wanted that, so now I'm here. So just
happy to oblige, happy to give you a piece of me, since that is what you have requested in this moment.
There was another incident This was without me. So he told me about it. In his old neighborhood, this kid, I guess like teenager, a lot of people, like, they sell candy and stuff at, around that age. And so the kid comes up to him and is like, yo, you got a dollar? He's like, what the fuck? I got candy. And he goes, okay, here's what you should think about for next time. Don't run up on people and ask them for money. There are people who are going to want your candy. You see this dude over here? He's now waiting in line for your candy. But if the first thing you say out of your mouth is, give me a dollar, you're going to turn off all your customers. So next time, say, hey, would you like to buy some candy? And I'm like, did you get punched in the face after that? Who wants you to talk to them like that? And he goes, no. The kid was like, yeah, okay. Then the next time he saw the kid, he comes up to me. He's like, yo, that thing worked. It worked. I tried it. And he said something like, it usually takes him 4 hours to finish the box. And this time it took him like 20 minutes or something. Wow. I don't remember the actual numbers, but they were significant. And I'm like, oh, you just talk to the youth in your neighborhood like that. Like, that's what he does. He's just like he catches people in the stairwell smoking weed. And
oh
then
my
he's
God.
Like,
I just had what? A thought. Professor X. Okay, go on.
That's the other superhero movie, kinda.
Yeah, the one with X-Men.
Yes.
All right. Yes. I have to rewatch that to know the complete
Sorry to interrupt for that amazing joke. That was really funny and good.
Are you trying to use the Jedi on us?
Oh, you're going to be super good at silent trailers.
Oh,
Bianca's
my gosh.
In silent trailers. If you're hearing this, you can get a free ticket. It's in your dashboard. You have a free ticket. It's next week. We did it at, so it's Saturday the 8th, which is next week at 4 p.m. Eastern, so that other time zones can join. So if it used
yes.
to be in the middle of the night, it might not be in the middle of the night for you right now. California, 1 p.m., whatever Europe is, maybe that's like 8 or 9 or something like that, but not the
Europe.
Middle of the night.
Come
Europe.
Through.
Yes.
You know how I love when people are from different places.
It is like, your favorite thing.
Like one of my top things.
So he catches the guy smoking weed in the stairwell. I might have said this on one of the shows. And they're like, oh, whatever, we're not. Or, I don't know. They got some kind of pushback. And he goes, listen, I don't care what you're doing, but right now you're putting yourself in danger doing that here. What you want to do is take that down the block and around the corner, because that's where you're more safe smoking the weed. And if they give any pushback, yo, man, I'm going to come after you, whatever. And he's like, I live in this number apartment. And he says the apartment. My name is Xerxes. And you can come see me anytime. But I know your mother, and I don't think she'll be happy about this encounter. So do what you want to do. I'll be in my apartment. I'll see you later.
Don't make me beat the shit out of your mom.
Xerxes is so cool. Wow.
But nobody puts up anything. They just kind of like respect their elders at that moment and stop.
Well, if I'm that kid, I'm like, wow, the sales pitch. Who is this marketing genius? You know,
I'd be afraid I gotta be all these kids' friends.
I don't know. There's like a good vibe between this situation. Like everyone understands that's all there is. It's nice.
God forbid you would make another friend, Keith. That would just be, I mean,
enough.
That would be too much.
This is, you're laughing, but this is how good I am to my friends. I'm at the limit.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
don't
you
push
guys,
it,
like,
guys.
You're like, oh, who needs help out there? Like, how do you, who's got the fucking time?
So what was the poll for Karen's episode?
Well, regarding thoughtfulness. Because,
speaking of Keith being nice.
Mm-hmm. I was very, very proud that I got delivery from my girlfriend.
Like, soup, but make it so you can eat it.
Right. And so I
and
did that. I made that happen.
I did that.
Yeah. I didn't even get to, I had to come and see her later, but she got soup before that. What? I did that.
Superhero status.
Right.
Superhero. Get it? Soup.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What?
Layers.
Yes. Regarding thoughtfulness, I, the reader, I'm more like Keith or Henda. 64% of the audience is more like Keith.
I mean, is that good or bad? You know what I mean?
Just like, the way it world? Is. It's just yeah. the way it is.
Okay.
You know, we don't know these things.
It's a weird team to be on, but thank you for voting.
So if I do something for you and Henda does something for you, the one that means more is what I did.
Sure,
because my
always.
Brain doesn't naturally think that way. I have to go out of my way. It just comes to her.
Oh, it just yeah. comes to me. Mm.
She's naturally gifted.
Yeah, she's yes. so gifted. Now she has to try her best to sound like a piece of shit.
Okay.
Go ahead, Henda. Why, how are you a piece of shit? I apologize.
It's not that I'm a piece of shit. It's
the dog thing was a good one.
I feel like it's the same amount of effort. Just, you know, you got to ask yourself to do it or not.
But the question doesn't even pop up to me. I got to sit there and go, think, what's the question? Soup. And then I have to find the answer. It's like you have the cheat sheet. You're sitting at the teacher's desk, and when they're not looking, you just pop open the second drawer.
Yeah, she's like the Rain Man of doing nice stuff. You
yes.
know, she's like
yeah.
a bunch of groceries fall down, and she just knows to pick them up. It's like,
right.
how does she know?
How does she know to do that, right? You don't go, yay, Rain Man, that was 1,000 toothpicks.
No.
No, you'd be like, I guess we'll go count cards, but
yeah,
that's the way you're born.
Yeah, it's kind of, honestly, it's like a disability sometimes.
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, like being born with one leg that's very nice.
Right.
I don't know what I'm saying anymore.
You're having a stroke.
Yeah, it's super hot in this room. I'm so shiny. Okay. VIP. Okay. Mm. Daddy Issues number 7, I Dream of Daddy. Keith's dad invented the show I Dream of Jeannie. Among his other accomplishments, he was a priest. He was in the military. He was the nemesis of President Ronald Reagan. He met a religious scholar in a Burger King. He's
Who has
author,
the time?
He's the author of a secret codex to understand a special prophecy of the Bible. And he has a great recipe for tomato soup. So this guy does it all. And
does it all. With 3 PhDs.
And I mean, 5 kids.
And 5 kids.
Amazing. And it's really fun to hear you and Ken talk about this stuff. And especially because I think Ken's relationship to your dad is so different than yours is. So like he seems to interact with him in a different way, mm-hmm. can like kind of get more out of him. Cause maybe your dad's guard is up a little bit more with you now at this point.
I wonder why. Why would anything be like
just
that?
Just based on the catfishing incident, maybe?
And tell him to fuck off, maybe?
Yeah, maybe that. But I can't believe he did one of your dad's basement church services.
Yeah, I didn't know that or forgot about it. Yeah.
Wow.
My brother was a member of his church.
That seems like a lot. And when he said the thing about how your dad wanted to get like the crowd reaction on CD to be like, peace be with you. And then he would be like, play. And also it's you. Pause.
In his church of nobody. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just thought of like, if you were to write a movie script, like a horror movie, and that was a scene where yes! there was like a priest in a basement who had a literal like tape deck with the crowd noises of church, the responses. I mean, that is bone chillingly scary.
Yeah. If he did. Right. If you saw a movie and it happened what my dad did in real life, and then he left the house, first person you'd see, you'd be like, well, they're going to die.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And then so like the camera, the frame is like him doing his church service and having the tape recorder. And then like the camera pans around to like the congregation and it's just body is in various levels of decay. Like one is a full skeleton and one is like a guy with an axe sticking out of his head. And that, okay, we're going to write it. And it's going to be fucking cool as hell.
Oh my God.
And I don't even like scary movies.
If anyone can draw that image, like in any kind of way, I want to see that.
Don't do it. And also cut your hand off because that's terrifying. Do not draw that.
Do it. Do it.
But another great episode. And I mean, did you and he decide whether or not you're going to have people send cards?
Actually, what happened was the end, we did the show. And then before we start talking about Melnick and why did somebody change his name and my family, the show was going to end. And I said, what if we put the poll out where, and I'm going to give a fake address, but how about we right now, but I said the real address and I'm like, how about we put a poll out? Should we tell people that my parents' address is 23 Oak Road, Somerset 16620. And then Ken goes, wow. And then that was going to be the end of the show. And Ken didn't like that idea. And so the next day we recorded the bonus ending. So it had some the new ending. So it had some kind of ending.
I see.
I think Ken was right, Keith. I think Ken was right. I would like for you to be right on that one because it sounds fun. So much fun.
People would send cards, condolence cards, because my dad knows he's going to die in late October. No, a doctor did not say that.
When the leaves are at their most crunchiest.
That'd be something you read in an occult book. As the leaves are at its crunchiest, your soul shall, thanks to your murders, go straight to the underworld.
Hmm.
Oh, well. Oh, well.
As the birds chirp in the back of Bianca's head.
Yeah. They're bats, but yeah.
Well, another great week. And, I mean, Keith, I forgive you. And
thank you.
I don't know, guys. Life is a mixed bag. I would say it's a mixed bag.
Uh-huh.
And that would be my assessment thus far.
Would you compare it to a box of chocolates?
You know, I might say that if I was in the mood for sort of a poetic description and I was trying to indicate the uncertainty ahead. You know, you do never know what you're going to get.
Right.
But sometimes it can be delicious and other times it can have a fruit filling that you do not prefer.
But and sometimes it's nutty.
Yeah, and sometimes it's nutty, and sometimes it's sticky.
Mm-hmm.
I think we learned a lot. And that's what she said. Okay.
Her voice was like, and that's what she said, and okay, I'm ashamed of myself.
And I'm here to remind you to listen to last week on Keith and the Girl. It's not fair to deny you of the wrap-up show that you need to hear. You gotta listen. KeithandTheGirl.com.